Did you know? Well, because I got an inner victory before I got the outer victory, you see? Now, I knew. I mean, I knew before I went to him that was, you might think it's just, I knew that was the living word of God to him. And I knew the whole thing. God told me ahead of time what was going to happen. Now, that's not mind reading or anything like that. It's just getting that inner victory. And then God, see, God who's interested in that person and in me and so on and so forth, he has the whole world, he knew how to put it all together. And even if I hadn't been there, he'd get somebody else or something. God's just really smart. Have you noticed that? He's a pretty smart guy. So it was the word of the Lord. And that man knew it. And I knew it. I knew it beforehand. And I told it to his wife because he wasn't there when I first got there. And I knew that was because God wanted me to speak to the wife. I told the wife, I said, well, this is all it's going to be. It's not going to be very exciting. It's just going to be this, which is the word of the Lord. I mean, it's not going to be some long retreat thing we have to do. And she said, that is right. And I went and told him, and I said, this is what the Lord said. And he said, that's it. He said, that's it. And God has a way of, you can always win an inner victory. How can I win in somebody else's life? I don't know where they are or what they want or anything else. But I can always win inside here. So always you can clarify your own mind. You can always hear the word of the Lord yourself. You have to die to do it. You have to pay the price. In other words, I just can't pray for you. I must pay a price. If I don't die, then I'm not going to help you to live. I must die before you live. And that's true of every Christian. Unless you first become stripped yourself and naked before God, you can't set anyone else free. So you pay that over and over and over again. But that's very exciting. That's exciting. That's not... So you just don't go around and say, well, I have a formula for sick people. You sick? Okay, here's the formula. No. In every situation, it's a new encounter with God. And there is no such thing as being an expert. You don't become experts. Every situation is brand new. It costs just as much to save a person today as it did 10 years ago or as it will 20 years from now. It's the same. It will always cost everything. It will always cost my entire life. At every moment, you keep dying all over again and stripping. And oh, this is called humility, coming down to reality. Oh, I was immature there. And maybe I'm more mature here, maybe I'm not, but whatever. But it still costs the same. I may be growing, but it still costs the same. As much as I can to die. So inner victories always lead to outer victories, inner battles. You see, every time I fight and win, I have great confidence. I know God loved me and just gave me that. That same God, you know, David said it this way. He said, Goliath, you know, I'm not afraid of you. Why? Because I've fought lions and bears. And he that's faithful in little things can face big things like Goliath. He said, you know, hey, when I was a kid, I used to practice on bears and lions. What's Goliath? Nothing. So who is this guy that, he says it's the same thing. I don't even pay attention whether the bear is big or brown or, you know, black or what color. It's a bear. And he doesn't belong in the flock, and that's my job. And I know I'm adequate to that job. So when he heard about Goliath, he didn't even look at Goliath, you know. And when he saw him, he wasn't impressed. He said, wow, that guy's big. You know, he just said, oh, he's just an uncircumcised Philistine. No problem. I had faith. He says, hey, I got the inner victory. I'm right with God. God will help me to knock that guy one stone. But I'll take five just in case. But it's always good to have five stones. But he knew that the same God who had set him free from the paw of the lion, from the claw of the bear and so on, would also overthrow this Goliath. And that's true in your life. You can't win a big Goliath victory unless you first fought some little bears and lions. Maybe they were just little ones. I don't know. But the point is, God will give you little things. Oh, take, for example, family problems, something small like that. You know, if you can conquer that, you can conquer the world. The man that can conquer in his own home can conquer the world. It's true. If you can bring your home, your own home in order, that's why in the church it says, don't let anyone rule in the church except they know how to rule their own home. That person is something. It takes a miracle. You can't just get that easily. That is a victory dearly bought. And the only way you can do that is if your own life is in order. You're not going to put your family in order if your own life isn't in order. Not if you have a wife like mine. What about you, you know? So you point out all my inconsistencies. I said, well, that's just an inconsistency, honey. Nevertheless, she marks it down. So the man that knows how to do that is a mighty man. The woman that knows how to have her family in order is a mighty woman. That's where to get the victories. Inside first, then your family, then the church, and on, but always get them small first. Okay, the next thing, T, is always talk positively. That is, give a good report. Why? Now, it's not the power of positive talking or always giving what people say, I don't want to be negative, like your daughter said. You know, I don't want to say I'm sick when I'm sick. You're sick, you're sick. A good report does not mean saying you're well when you're sick. That's not a good report. A lot of people are lying, and they're calling that good reports. How's things going? Wonderful, you know. When, you know, well, that's okay if you mean by faith, but you mean that by faith. You know, if somebody says, how are you doing? I just say, perfect. Well, I'm talking about faith. I'm not talking about how things are. I'm talking about how things are by faith. Now, but here's the good report. When the spies went into the land, they all saw the same thing. Giants. 10 of them came back and said, there's giants in the land, let's not go in. The other two came back and said, there's giants in the land, let's go in. Well, the difference was that the two saw those giants, same giants, they didn't come back and say, there aren't any giants in there, we can go in easy. No, there were giants in the land. They didn't come back and give a good report and say, there aren't any giants there. Fruit's good, no giants. I don't know what those other guys are talking about. There aren't any giants there. Oh, some tall people, but that's not a good report. A good report is there are giants, I mean, big G giants in that land, but God is able to give us the victory because the fruit is good. And therefore, God wants us to go in and take that land. Now, that's a good report. Is I see the giants, but I see God. He's bigger than the giants. And God said to go in. Now, that's a good report. So a good report isn't always saying something positive in the simple sense of always talking nice or something. A good report means you can tell honestly what you see, but make sure you say, but God. But this is the way it really is. You know, I have problems too, but there's no problem because God is working everything out. No, that's all right. That's how. In other words, we don't want people to gripe and complain. Oh, you don't know, and oh, we got problems. Oh, you know, don't say that. You know, just say, well, we got problems, we got, you know, and you can list them all off, but God, if you want to. I mean, it's not necessary. Usually people have enough problems of their own. They don't need to hear all about your problems, but if you want to, you can give a few just to let them know you're real. Sometimes people think Christians are unreal. Well, you can go ahead and be real, but don't overdo it. You know, don't dwell on, because the more you list all those things, you know, there are giants in the land, and they have biceps that are 18 inches, and, you know, they're, you know, that's just going to, you know, there's no point. Just, you know, flip it off. There are giants in the land, but hey, the fruit is good, and the land is beautiful, and I know God's with us. Let's go in. That's all. That's a good report. You see how to do it now? Don't tell all about your husband. You know, people come and they say, you know, they want to go for an hour and a half telling all their problems. You know, and then, now can you solve that? You know, well, you're worn down after listening to all that stuff, you know. So it's just, you know, so usually, you know, if someone comes to me, I just say, what do you want God to do? That just is in a sentence. Don't not 18,000 sentences, just in a sentence. What would you like? Well, I've got, no, not well, I've got, but what would you like God to do? Well, I don't know, I never thought of that. Well, that's why you're here. Because whatever you want God to do, that's what He'll do. What would you like God to do? Would you like peace? I said, yeah, I'd like peace. Well, good. Okay, let's pray for peace. Well, wait, I haven't told you my whole story. I don't want to hear your whole story. We'll just pray for peace, you see. But you see, you can bog people down with all those bad reports and all those negative things. You think, you know, if you're down, you want everyone else to know because then maybe they'll get down and see if they can get out, you know. And I've sat through lots of those, you know. You listen to all those and, you know. The last thing, H, is faith has one eye on heaven. One eye on heaven. Heaven is its hope. Faith and hope are always linked together. Faith has an anchor. If this is earth where we live, faith cannot operate unless it's also got one foot or one side in heaven. This is its heavenly hope. Okay? In Rhode Island, where my wife is from, they have what they call the Mount Hope Bridge. It goes down toward the seacoast there. And so it's kind of like going to heaven is, faith is right here along the way. It's not over yet, but it's tied to or anchored to hope, to heaven. And so faith already is in heaven because it's the substance of things hoped for. It already has it even though it doesn't see it. Whereas you don't have to hope when you have it. And you don't have to have faith when you have it. But faith has it, but it doesn't see it. It just has it without seeing it. Heaven is seeing it. You know, I mean, I have everything now. I'm already rich. I'm already everything I ever want to be or could be. I'm a Christian. I'm in the family. But I don't see that. What I see is, you know, someone bumping along the road, you know, going along the way from glory to glory. But my hope, my faith is tied to my hope, is that, oh, I don't worry. Why? Because I have hope. I know, it's not just I wish, but I know, I'm positive. That's what my faith says. I'm absolutely positive. I have confidence that this bridge won't fall down. I'll make it because God's with me. God's not only the goal, but He's the way. God's with me all along the way. He started this thing. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. I'll be able to endure because of the joy that is set before me. It said, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. I don't care about problems. Problems delight me. I don't care. Somebody says, aren't you worried about problems? No. I expect them because Jesus said, in the world you have problems and troubles. I'm not troubled by them. I like them. That's not the right way to say it, but I have to say it that way to make a point, is they don't impress me. Problems can only do one thing for me, and that's improve my character. That's what problems are for. Now, I'm not going to look for problems. I don't have to. I just run into them all the time. You know. But if you follow Jesus, you'll be in trouble all the time. Well, not all the time, but 95% of the time. You know, that's what it's like. But that's all right, because I'm never troubled by that. That only helps me. So anybody can have a God where there's no troubles. But boy, to have a God in the midst of troubles, that's the kind of God we've got. That's when you need to rejoice, when it doesn't look good. When it looks good, everybody can say, well, God has done a wonderful thing and so on. You know, praise the Lord. But we need somewhere it doesn't look so good. Now, how do you make it there? How did you get out of that? How can you rejoice? How can you smile? I don't understand. That's faith. Faith has such a hope. It's such a lively hope. I'm already in heaven, aren't you? That's my home. I'm not at home down here. I mean, I have a good time. I really do. But it's nothing to me to take off, because this is not it. I've lost my dream down here. There's no dream down here. I had one when I was younger. I don't have one anymore. I don't care. I want to go home. You may find that odd, but you know, it's not that neat down here, I'm going to tell you. People are a mess, you know. They're a lot like me. But I have a good time. I love it, because I have faith to carry me on. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. This is not my home. We're going home, you know? I really believe that. I don't believe there's any heaven down here. I don't believe it, except what heaven God has put. And that's what faith is, because this is not heaven. Can I say that again? This is not heaven. You get old, for one thing. That's kind of depressing, you know? But it isn't if you're a Christian, because then you're just getting younger and younger every day, right? Yeah, it's just the old tent wearing out. Who cares for tents? You know, when this body goes, I get another one. I get a brand new one. Now, that's words, but isn't words with me. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. But you see, you've got to have your eye on Jesus, and you've got to have your eye on that heavenly hope, or you can't say that. Then it isn't faith, it's just talk. But that's the way it is. I'm in love. You know, my beloved is not here. You know, you see, I'm in love with this guy called, I've never seen him, but I'm in love with him. I don't even know. All I've got is His Word. But I believe it. Faith cometh by hearing. And I believe that my beloved is invisible at this point. Now, you're my beloved too, but you get to go home with me. So I'm not worried. You'll come sooner or later. Half of them are already there. Another half are still here. But I win all the time, all the way. The way is just as good as the goal. But I do have a goal. And that sustains me and keeps me. So faith, first of all, fight. There is a fight. Fight the good fight. Put on the armor of God, but don't fight until you've already won. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not a problem. It's Satan. That's why I get the inner victory over Satan before I get the outer victory that usually involves people and circumstances, because Satan's always behind it. And when I defeat him in my soul, which I can always defeat him in, then it's easy to defeat him out there, because I'm not wrestling with people. I'm not trying to solve people's problems. I haven't the slightest, vaguest idea of how to help people. I used to think I did. My wife would come to me with these problems. She would say, "Help." And I'd say, "Honey, I can help you. I've been to college and, you know, and seminary, and yeah, pretty good, you know." And I would try to help her, and she'd, "No." I said, "Wait a minute, I've got some more, you know." And, you know, this went on for years. And I kept thinking, "Nah, wait a minute, explain it one more time. Okay, listen, this is a little different." And after a while, I got kind of worn down. One day I said to her, I said, "Honey, don't ask me to help you anymore. I can't help you." And it was almost like God went, "Whew, at last." "I'm turning you over to God." And I just quit. I just gave up. I realized I can't help anybody. It just occurred to me, you know, it just kind of occurred to me. And from then on, it's been fun, because I don't have to fight. I didn't have to work. God does it all. And I just enjoy myself. I just do what God says, and it's up to Him. If something good comes up, praise the Lord. If something doesn't, praise the Lord. I just go back, and I just have God. That's all. That isn't too much, but that's all there is. And that's all there is. And that's all there needs to be. It's the greatest. So God's good. Faith. Fight. Always keep your eyes on Jesus. Get those inner battles before you get those outer battles. Work on yourself, inside, in here. You and Jesus. And then always talk in a positive way. Give a good report. And finally, have that heavenly hope. That's what faith builds itself out of. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, I pray that tonight that everyone here will leave with a lively faith, and they'll understand grace in such a way that they'll receive it. Oh God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the work you've done tonight. We didn't do anything. We're just obedient to you. We love you. We know that as we have believed, and we do believe, that you'll be faithful, and that no one will leave here without being fulfilled, satisfied. We believe that, Lord. Now, maybe some will go away not satisfied, but I know that you gave them food. I know that you gave them drink. I know that you wouldn't disappoint any that came desperately hungry, any that came looking to receive. I know that you were here. Even if it wasn't anything said, then you'd meet us in a song. You're so faithful. You're so good. You'd never give less than the best. You can't give second best. Oh God, you're so good. You're so precious. Each one here goes forth able to say with confidence, with a good report, "Yes, I have been edified by the word of the Lord." Even just the scriptures that were read. God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you that you're a faithful God. You're a trustworthy God. You're a God worthy of our worship and our praise and our love and our adoration. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh God, we just thank you because you are a God who's so tender. You're a God who does care. And Lord, we know that even among believers, sometimes we doubt. We don't have faith. But you say, "He that doubts is like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro, and never receiveth anything. But he that hath faith," and faith can only be built on a sure word of God, a sure knowledge that this is the will of God. You said that when we were sick, we should cry out to God. We should lift those up to God. Lord, we know that your desire is that we be well. We know this is your precious, we know there's greater things than that. But we believe right now, as our sister has testified, that you spoke to her heart to say, Jeremiah is sick. God wants to heal him. And so in the blessed name of Jesus, we have the confidence that if we ask this according to your will and in your name, that you do hear us. And therefore, we declare that Jeremiah shall be well in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, dear God, that you are a God who is a healer, a doctor, a wonderful doctor, one that makes house calls still. So wherever Jeremiah is, you go right to his home now, Lord God, and the word of God goes forth to heal him in the blessed name of Jesus. As we believe, so it shall be. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that we have that faith. We can fight this good fight because we've got our eyes always on Jesus. And we know as we've fought these inner battles, so you will give us this outer battle. And as we speak the good report and talk of the things of God, it's because we have that lively hope in us. And we thank you for that heavenly power right now. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Bless someone before you go. Just put your hand on their shoulder and say, bless you in the name of Jesus. I'm glad you're here.